Hi, this is Christian Doidge and you're listening to the Cymru Leagues podcast.
Hi, Nikki Johns yma, a ti'n gwrando ar podlediad Cymru Leagues.
Hi, this is Chloe O'Connor and you are listening to the Cymru Leagues podcast.
Shumai, Emlyn Lewis yma, a da chi'n gwrando ar podlediad Cymru Leagues.
Episode number 30 is here. Welcome to the Cymru Leagues podcast and this latest edition of our Getting to Know series, where we help shine a light on some of the fantastic people we have or have had in our domestic game here in Wales over the years, and give them an opportunity to tell us a little bit more about their journeys in the game. For episode 29, we had the awesome Chloe O'Connor from Cardiff Met Women's FC on the pod, discussing her incredible return to the game this season after 2 years out with injury, and much more. I highly recommend going back and listening to that one. This week, we have Mr. Gwyn Derfel joining us, the general manager of the JD Cymru Premier. Gwyn has been in post for 9 years this week, as it happens, and has been heavily involved in the great growth we've seen in the Cymru Premier over the years. We discussed that with him in detail, some of his favourite memories and moments as a football man, as well as touching on how difficult this last year has been for him and his team, trying to run a league in the face of a pandemic, after all. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you will too. Let's get to know a little bit more about Mr. Gwyn Derfel. Well, Gwyn, thank you for joining us. I mean, it's been a year like no other, I think it's fair to say. Obviously, you've been in this role now for some time, but where does this experience of the last year and so on, I mean, how does that fit in?
I've been in post for 9 years this week, as it happens, Jamie, and there's no doubt this has been the most challenging 12 months of my stewardship. You know, it puts football into perspective. You know, the health of the nation is the primary concern, but it also has proven how important football is to people's well-being. And we're just hoping we're going to have some good news. We've worked closely with Welsh Government throughout this pandemic. We're hoping to have some glimmer of hope in the announcement this week, so that we can hopefully return in a safe manner and get back to playing football in our National League. It has been challenging, you know. We're on Plan Z now, I think. But as I said, the important thing is to return safely and to have a complete conclusion to this season.
What have been the biggest challenges for you, though, from a day-to-day perspective as much as anything else?
We've been putting alternative plans into place for resumption on a potential date. That hasn't happened, then, you know, another plan in place for another potential date. As I've said, we work closely with Welsh Government, but I think the difficult thing has been is having no news for clubs and for supporters, whereas we've been working quite hard behind the scenes to try and get a safe resolution to this, but we're ultimately in the hands of Welsh Government. And while they've taken the stance, rightly so, of protecting the Welsh public first and foremost, then it's been a little bit difficult when we've gone for periods with no new developments, because we've been working in 3-week cycles. And when there hasn't been any news for 3, 6, 9 weeks, then it's been very difficult. And, you know, the cooperation with the clubs has been great, actually, because it's been difficult for them trying to keep their players training safely, especially when there have been fire breaks, when it's been only the professional players who've been allowed to train collectively. But now, with a bit of luck, you know, with the rates coming down, the indications far more favourable, then hopefully we'll have a speedy and safe return to playing football.
I'm glad you mentioned the clubs there. I mean, I remember that magical week when games came back for the first time, and we were all excited. You know, I remember being, I saw you, didn't I, at Connors Quay for the Bala game on Scorio, and there was a real, you know, there's always a buzz for Scorio, there's always a buzz for live games, and especially for that, because it was the champions, obviously, beginning their defence and so on. But also because games were back, you know, and the clubs worked so hard, didn't they, in terms of, and the FAW as well, and all the, you know, and everybody, but they worked so hard just to make it safe, didn't they?
Well, the return to play protocols, which has been implemented, has been complemented by Welsh Government. I know Liz Savile-Roberts, the Member of Parliament in the Bala area, she came to one of the games, and she said they're the most stringent protocol she's had to adhere to during the whole pandemic. Because, as I say, the primary concern for us is the health and safety of people at the clubs. But we've got to try and get football back safely. And, you know, and that's been a little bit frustrating that, you know, our elite status was revoked prior to Christmas, which wasn't the original indication. But we have to understand that the Welsh Government are trying to do what's best for the whole community. And as soon as we get the green light to come back, then that we are confident that as a league and as those individual member clubs can deliver these matches safely. And of course, the long-term aim is to secure the return of spectators safely, because, you know, we're trying to get this season completed to 32 games. So it's a full season, the record books are complete, but it won't have been the same, because obviously the games have been played without that core element of supporters, which is so important to us.
And you mentioned it's a milestone week for you, obviously, coming up to 9 years in your post. Mm-hmm. To turn away from COVID, looking back over those 9 years, where has the biggest progress been made in Welsh football, do you think?
I think ultimately that's up to the supporters and the clubs to decide where the progress has been. You know, there are a few areas which I've worked on with my colleagues, which I do think that we've made progress. You know, each one of the 12 Premier League member clubs, their academies now get €100,000 investment every year. That wasn't there previously. We've secured data partnerships because there's value to our games now, and that's been reinvested in an infrastructure which now allows the Scorio crew to retweet goals immediately, which raises the profile of the game. There have been great strides when it comes to analysis. I think that the League Cup, especially since Nathaniel NG have become involved, and with the Wildcards, I think that's been an exciting development. And we've worked collaboratively as well with other similar associations, and we work with the FA, and we've managed to secure funding through the Football Foundation for our member clubs. So I think there have been great strides. And I think most importantly, though, is seeing certain good results on the field as well. You know, Connors Quay winning in Rijeka. I went out to Norway just to compare ourselves with a fairly similar association a couple of years ago, and went to a game at Rijeka. Their playing budget's about £5 million a year. Well, Connors Quay's funding dwarfs into insignificance with that, and they still managed to pull off a fantastic result over two legs. And talking of Connors Quay, of course, I haven't got a sort of a preference when it comes to clubs, but it was quite refreshing that in my 9 years in post, at least last year, that we did have an alternative champion. But most importantly was the fact that there's a genuine title race now between not just two clubs, but three, four, five clubs who could potentially win the championship. And that's given me great pleasure to see the increased standards, but also the increasing competitiveness between member clubs.
There's always been great players in the league, but I think the overall all-round quality of squads and coaching staffs and everything involved at a club now it's only improved and improved and improved, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think the coaching badges is absolutely key to it all. That you have to have a pro license to manage in Europe, so that's what each club should have, a manager with a pro license. And when you consider the balance of people who are on pro license courses together, you know, we were talking about Priestley Farkas and with Mark Jones during the week, that Mike Flynn and Andy Morrison were on the pro license course together. So there's that element of trust between those managers, and it's that element of contacts as well. You know, Mark Jones was on the pro license course with Roberto Martinez, for example. You know, his stock has just grown and grown and grown. So I think the coaching courses are hugely important, but the clubs deserve great praise as well, because they're the ones who've set the internal standards themselves. You know, TNS have been setting the benchmark and setting that bar higher and higher, and fair play to Connors Quay and Bala and Barrytown and some of the clubs. They therefore have tried to emulate the new Saints and try and surpass them as well, and that's why it makes the league so exciting currently, I think.
Obviously, league action is and domestic action is very exciting, but Europe is very exciting as well. I mean, we look forward to this every summer. You don't get a break, I imagine, because you're always looking forward to some set of games. How much have you enjoyed you mentioned one European outing there for one team, but overall, I mean, how much have you enjoyed those encounters, you know, seeing the best teams in this country going against European competition?
Yeah, there's an element of nervousness initially because our results in Europe over the years haven't been great. But I think there has been a great improvement in our performances and in some results as well. You know, who would have given Connors Quay much chance against Kilmarnock a couple of years ago? They finished third in the Scottish Premier League and Connors Quay beat them over two legs. The New Saints, I remember them beating Europa, and people are saying, well, aside from Gibraltar, they should be beating them. But their budget is four times the amount that the New Saints have to spend. So there's that element of realism that we have to face as well. You know, Prestatyn had a fantastic victory in Europe. And they do give you great, great pleasure because unless we have faith in the increasing standards of our National League, then who is going to have that faith? And that's where the Scottish Challenge Cup has been almost of equal importance to me because people might not know that Rijeka have got an 11 million euros playing budget, but they'll know Queen's Park. And when Connors Quay beat Queen's Park at Hampden Park, you know, they've gone, oh my God, Connors Quay have beaten Queen's Park. But with all due respect to the Scottish outfit, they're nowhere near as good as Rijeka, although their public profile is far higher here in Wales. So one of the biggest challenges we have is changing people's perceptions about our league. And Connors Quay going through to the Iron Brew Cup final two seasons ago, I think certainly helped it in that regard.
Another project that I know you're very passionate about is the Cymru C squad. That's no doubt helped in that regard as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things which I've enjoyed most and one of the things I'm most proud of reintroducing as such. You know, and Mark Jones is the manager, but it's not from my perspective because it's a leap of faith putting it aside against basically a national conference side, which most people think is of a superior level than the Cymru Premier. But we've got to have faith in our product, that the standard of our league is that good. But the most important thing for me is seeing how much it meant to players by being in camp, that they were turning up and they were really proud that they knew potentially that their chances of full honours had passed them by. But seeing something like Conor Robinson 2 years ago being given the captain's armband, and he had that move to Port Vale, and Port Vale actually told Conor Robinson that the fact that he was a relatively young player with the armband, that actually tipped the balance in favour of them offering him that contract or not. Seeing players like, you know, what it meant to somebody like Danny Gossett and what's happened to Danny subsequently. One of the highlights for me in my 9 years is having a chat with Danny last month and knowing that he's back in full training. And one of the reasons I sort of feel so passionately about the league is it has got that national feel to it. It is our national league, but it's also got that family feel to it. And as soon as you're part of it, then it's just in your blood. And it's something which I love being associated with.
And if it hasn't become obvious to everybody by now, I mean, you are a massive football fan above all else. as a football fan, I mean, I know 9 years is a long time to pick out highlights and memories and so on, but purely on a footballing level, are there games, are there moments, are there things that you look back on and you think that was very special or things like that? Are there any that stand out for you in particular?
Well, being in post, I actually think that being at the Connors Quay Helsinki first leg at Nanporth, where once again no one gave them a cat in hell's chance and they won the first leg 1-0. And again, it's just the fact that they were representing our league and that they beat Helsinki over one leg. Okay, they ultimately lost on aggregate by the odd goal, I believe. But I just remember thinking, yeah, our league is without doubt improving. I've enjoyed playoff finals, although they are probably the worst day in the calendar year for me because you share the winning club's ecstasy, but you feel the pain of those who've lost or have come so close. So having lost two finals and then travelling with Cardiff Met to Luxembourg, that was quite special for me, especially since they performed so well, again against a team whose budget was 4 million euros a year, I think. And for them just to lose out, you know, by a few minutes in the second leg at Leckwith, that was hugely disappointing. But yeah, the fact that you see that development is fantastic. From a personal point of view, this is really sad, but sort of I take my holidays and I try and go and watch Wales away as much as I can. And when I was a little boy, my lifelong ambition was to see us qualify for a major championship and to see us score one goal. So in Bordeaux, it was the day after my birthday. I was working for the FAW out in the Euros, running the media centre up in Dinard. So to be in Bordeaux, my wife would come over as well. And when Bale scored that free kick, my lifelong ambition had been realised. So anything after that during the Euros was an absolute bonus. I just remember as well, my son, when we started that qualifying campaign, Reece was about 16 at the time, and his first ever away game was away in Andorra. And I thought, nice, easy win. The boy can see Wales win away. And we bumped into Chris Coleman the night before the game. And I told Chris Coleman in the office about 3-4 weeks before the game that my boy was coming to his first ever game. And he saw me and he ignored me completely, went to Reece and said, I understand it's your first ever game, young man, supporting Wales away. We'll do whatever we can to make sure we win tomorrow night, to make sure you follow Wales forever and a day. Okay, by the skin of our teeth, we won that game. And Reece's next game, he came with me, was away in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And in the rain, in Zenica, losing 2-0, and we'd qualified. So, you know, football has not only given me lifelong defining memories, but, you know, I'm really privileged that it's my bread and butter at the moment as well. And however challenging the role can be sometimes, you know, it's important that you just remind yourself how much of a privileged position that you're in.
I completely agree with you on the family feel of the game in Wales. It's being honest, it's my favourite thing about it, and that's why I've said on this podcast before, you know, one of my favourite games I ever watched was Bala against TNS in the Welsh Cup final, because, you know, they'd lost over two dozen, or they hadn't lost over two dozen, but they hadn't won in over two dozen against TNS, and then they come into the Cup final. Chris Coleman was there, actually, and they win it. So I completely agree, and I love that about it.
Well, I remember the Academy Finals day was in Newtown the day after the final in Bangor, and Nigel Aykroyd, the chairman of Ballytown, turned up in the Academy's final just hugging the Welsh Cup, and he basically says the first thing that shared his bed apart from his wife for a very, very long time.
I mean, you mentioned changing perceptions there is one of your biggest, you know, aims, I guess. Has the last couple of years, where obviously, you know, the likes of Ben Cabango have come here and George Ratcliffe and other young players, you know, I think of Henry Jones as well as another one, I guess. How much has that helped change the perceptions on a in the industry, if you like, in the game of the potential of this league?
I think it's been vitally important. I think it goes back to the pro licence courses as well, where that personal contact between the relevant managers is there. But no, it's vitally important. And I think that the pro clubs, especially Swansea and Cardiff now, who've looked at the way those players have developed and been nurtured by Cymru Premier clubs, and you mentioned Ben Cabango, you know, and less than 18 months after playing in the league, he's a full international. And I think that's been a very much a snowball effect, and that the next step is for clubs outside of Wales to start looking at our players again. We know that Ross Crowe's back, having gone to Wimbledon. We've mentioned Priestley, Farquharson and going, but the next challenge for us is to ensure that our clubs strike the correct balance of allowing the players to go to potentially a higher standard, but also to protect their investment. You know, we need to start seeing our clubs getting £100,000 for a player. Imagine what that would do to a club. You know, and the next step is for potentially us to have more belief in our product and in the players that we're developing. So I mentioned earlier about the £100,000, €100,000 each academy gets in the Cymru Premier. Well, if that's wisely spent by our clubs, then in 5 and in 10 years, that investment should be coming back into the league tenfold. And, you know, and as our young players are developing, which ties into what you said specifically with Cardiff and Swansea, then that can only be a good thing and something that we need to further develop.
You mentioned some games that you've enjoyed and some moments like that, but we've had some fantastic players in the league. I know you're not going to be able to list them all because I know how fond you are of so many players, but are there any in particular that have stood out for you over the years that you've, you know, would make Gwyn Derfel's five-a-side team, for example?
Well, you've got to nod your cap to Greg Draper, haven't you? You know, to start off with, he always seems to be in the right place at the right time. But the player I've enjoyed watching most over the past few years, though, has been Chris Venables. And just the way he looks after himself, his attitude. And when I didn't know him, he just had that sort of distance about him that you weren't quite sure about him. But having spent time with him within those Wales C squads, that you can just see how committed he is to giving his all in every single performance. You know, that's been a real eye-opener for me and a real privilege to see such a good, consistent performer in every year that I've been at the helm of the league. So, yeah, I was lucky when I first started. You know, Mark Lloyd-Williams was still scoring. He's still the record goal scorer. And ultimately, it is about goals, isn't it? What people want to see. And the other players are just too numerous to mention. But there are so many good players in our league. And the next step, obviously, is for the wider world to realise and to recognise how much talent we've got in our National League here in Wales.
And I think what's been nice about particular in recent years is that we've seen some of our players coming back in management roles. You know, I mean, one I'm sure he was on the tip of your tongue there as well would have been Rhys Griffiths. You know, obviously he's doing a fantastic job with Pennebont now, and obviously Christian Edwards as well. And I mean, I could go on, but you know what I mean? There's so many of them that are stepping into management. So how important is that for the growing the culture of our league, if you like, and, you know, making sure people understand the importance of it and so on?
Yeah. Rhys Griffiths is another one I should have mentioned, obviously. But yeah, it's really nice because that transition period must be very difficult. You know, I'm sure he sort of had other offers, but Pennebont seemed like a good fit for him. And you look at where they are now, and I know their playing budget is decent at Pennebont. I actually live about a mile away from the ground. So they're probably the club I see most of these days. But you can see the respect that the players have got for Rhys Griffiths because they know how many times he won the Golden Boot. They know that he knows his onions. And that can only be a good thing. But it's not Rhys Griffiths living on his name. I've seen how hard Rhys works behind the scenes with the first team. I've seen how detailed he is when he uses the analysis and the statistical evidence, which is now available to clubs through the league. And he's a winner, and that's bound to rub off on other people. But the fact he's got that background in the league and that legacy still from within the league can only be good for the development of his players and for Pennebont.
You've obviously seen the league grow and led the league in its growth over the last 9 years, along with a dedicated group of people at the FAW. I mean, there's always ideas about where it can go next. You know, what should it be? This should it be that? Where do you see the future for the league?
I just want to see that continuous growth. I think we have to improve the crowds. Although Super 12, I think it's only 1 year prior to Super 12, which has recorded a higher average than 1 year since the advent of Super 12, but it's still not good enough. The crowds aren't good enough for the standard of football that we have. And, you know, we compare ourselves with Northern Ireland, with the Republic of Ireland, and their crowds are vastly superior to ours. Now, once people have a taste of our league and the value for money that it offers, they keep coming back. But we need to improve that drastically. And it's something which I haven't succeeded doing to the degree that I wanted to when I first took post. But that's, we're just going to keep working on that. And with the staff that we've got, the team in the competitions department, we're all domestic football lovers, as you'd expect. And so working together and working with the clubs, then that's got to be our ultimate aim.
Looking back on the 9 years, I mean, what are your overriding sort of emotions, I guess, about your time?
Well, how quickly the time's gone, to be honest with you, because I can't believe it's been 9 years, but I happen to look back on social media platform of mine and sort of when I was appointed, and there were no grey hairs at the time. So it might seem as though it's gone quickly, but I think it's left its toll on me. But I've just enjoyed the people I've met. I've enjoyed just seeing the consistent growth and improvement that's been there. One of the great feelings that I had, and it's only a small thing, but as a boy who went to school in secondary school in Caernarfon, and when I was growing up, the team was full of players from Liverpool. Now they've got that local feeling, but they've got people from outside the club as well to try and take that club forward. But the club means such a lot to the community. And when I go back and see my mother in North Wales, you walk around Caernarfon and see young kids in Caernarfon shirts. Well, that's a culture which didn't exist when I was growing up. And I think a lot of that's down to the academies and that sense of belonging to a club from an early age. You know, I'll walk around Pennebont, Regent, and I'll see Pennebont shirts. And so it's those things that we've got to tap into and ensure that we grow them and make the next generation not have that negative attitude towards the league, which has been portrayed by certain elements of the media that it's not good enough, you know, and it is good enough. It needs to be improved further. But I mentioned earlier value for money, and I just think for an average of £7 to go and watch a football game when we're allowed to return, if you've been bored in the house and you haven't given our league a chance, try it. You'll get a welcome, you'll get a good standard of football, and with a bit of luck, you'll come back next time and bring a friend with you.
Listen, it's been brilliant to speak to you. Obviously, I've known you for 5-6 years now, but first time we've had a chance to do something like this, and it's great to do it. I don't envy the job you've got. I know how difficult the last year has been, and just, you know, on behalf of Welsh football, I think say thank you to you and everybody who's, you know, done your best to make sure that we have a league and that we get back to playing it safely and as quickly as possible.
Pleasure, Jamie. Diolch yn galon.
So that was Mr. Gwyn Derfel. A bit of a different pod to our usual, where we speak to the players, coaches or volunteers in the league, but I think it was an important conversation to have, and it gives you an insight to the kind of passionate, determined people that the FAW and Welsh football has working behind the scenes to try and drive the domestic game forward. We'll be back soon with episode 31, but until then, why not go back and listen to some of our previous Getting to Know episodes? Or let us know on social media who you'd like to see as a guest in the future. You know where to find us. Until next time, we'll out.